We do want to thank you for coming today and being a part of our church service. And we pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will touch your heart and touch your life today. Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and let's make our declaration before him. Amen. Everybody got their Bibles or their phone on their Bibles, whatever. And repeat after me. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn to Psalms 111, page 992. Psalms 111. This is our church reading for today. That means that we all read together. Because it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Your ears need to hear your voice say these words. So it builds faith on the inside of you to believe God for what God wants you to believe him for in your life. You might say, is it different? Some things are the same for everybody, and some things are different for people. So y'all ready?
Yes.
Starting with verse 1. Now, I need to hear you guys. All right. I say, praise you, the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Verse 2. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them who have pleasure therein. Verse 3. His work is honorable and glorious. And his righteousness endures forever. That makes you want to shout. Verse 4. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Verse 5. He has given meat unto them who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Verse 6. He has shown his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. Verse 7. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. That means verity means truth, okay? So let's read it again and let's put truth in there. Alrighty? We want to make sure. The works of his hands are truth and judgment. All his commandments are sure. Verse 8. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. Verse 9, he sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever, holy and reverent in his name. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. My Lord, thank you, Father. Praise God. I want you to turn, if you would, to Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40. Look at verse 1. It says this, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now, this is King David that is saying this. And we're going to stop with 1. That's what I want to get to right here. Let's read it again. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. You know, patience. You know, we all say, Lord, give me patience. But boy, when it starts, it takes a toll on us. It says David had prayed about many things. And many things we pray about. And we have to, and as praying is just knocking on the door of God. And giving him, first we give him praise. Then we give him our request. We don't tell him what to do. He's the commander in chief. He's our God. Now, we can claim the word of God because of it's his word that has been given to us. But we knock on the door of heaven patiently. You know, how many things that we have all been praying about, and some things have come to pass. You know, we pray about things and sometimes they're quick to come about. Some things take longer than others. But you see, we have to be a tenacious people that don't give up. That we keep on knocking on the door of God, on heaven's door, and requesting God about certain things, people's salvation, about whatever it is that's upon your heart that God has put. Because you might say, well, what if God tells me to change my prayer? Change your prayer. Well, if God gives me the answer to what I need, well, thank God for that answer. But David was praying about many, many things. One of the things he had been praying about was his son that was after him, wanting to kill him. Can you believe that? His son. But yet David kept going to God and was praying. And God would get him through every situation, every problem, everything. Now look at this. It says, and he patiently inclined unto the Lord, and he heard my cry. Look, I know many of us, and probably everybody in here, has gone to God in tears, have gone to God in many, many tears, has just gone to God and said, Lord, I don't know what to do. God is expecting us, his people, to go to him. And things touch our hearts and touch our lives, and it affects us on the inside. And we cry, just as David, a man after God's own heart, he kept knocking on the throne room of heaven and would not give up. David was the one that did some things that weren't appropriate too. But yet God saw his heart. That's what God is looking at, the hearts of his people. Looking at your heart. Look, if we could be perfect, Jesus would not have had to come. Now, that doesn't give an allowance for sin either, though, okay? You know, so I've heard people say, well, I can sin today and ask for forgiveness tomorrow. And I'm thinking, wait, no, let's back it up. You don't want to sin. You don't want to do the evil because you want God to go before you. Yet we know we have a God that will forgive us. Because he's merciful and gracious to us. But he heard the cry of his people. God will never turn aside a heartful cry, a heartfelt cry. We know this, that he will answer and hear us as we cry, because he will encourage and help us in our time of need. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 3, page 106. He hears the cries of his people. And when I say cries, I'm talking about the prayers of his people. Also, the cry, sometimes we cry as we pray. That's okay. We're touched by the Spirit of God. We need to be touched by the Spirit of God. We need God to touch our lives. We don't want to stay the same. We want God to change us from the inside out. And we want people to see the change in our lives. God is in the business of restoring people's lives. God is in the business of changing people's lives. God is in the business of saving people so they don't split hell wide open, but that heaven is their home. Heaven is their home. Look at Exodus chapter 3, starting with verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Verse 8, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, and you that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. The children of Israel went into the land of Egypt, and it was good as long as Joseph was alive. And when Joseph died, second in command, their favor went down with Pharaoh. This is a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph, didn't live with him. And he turned the Israelites into slaves. I mean, literal slaves. They did all the work. I mean, they didn't get any pay. They lucky they got food. But God says, as they would cry unto him, they would work so hard during the day, barely had anything, go back to their land, to their homes. And I know they would go back and they would cry unto the God of Israel, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Went on for hundreds of years, but God intervened. God will come in as you and I cry unto our God as a heartfelt cry of, Lord, you see what's going on. You see what's happening in our family. You see what's happening in our church and in our community. You see, Lord, Lord, intervene somehow, some way. I'm sure some of these Israelites, they got to the place where they lost hope at times. And you know what? We may lose hope at times. But I tell you what, we need to get back to the Word of God and let the Spirit of God start stirring those things on the inside, fanning the flame that is upon us, that the Holy Ghost can do the mighty work that needs to be done in each one of our lives. Just because God doesn't answer one prayer doesn't mean that you desert Him and go another way. My God, Lord, just because He does not answer a prayer that the way we think He should answer it doesn't mean that this is God right here. We'll use the cross. Doesn't mean that as I'm serving Him, I turn my back on Him because He didn't do it the way I wanted Him to do it. I am not in charge. You and I are not in charge. He's in charge. He hears our cry. He hears those things that affect us. He hears where we are. He knows where we are. Oftentimes I've said, Lord, don't let us out of the mighty revival that's coming to America, Lord. Don't leave us out of the mighty revival that's coming to our country, Lord. Don't leave us out, Lord. And I know this, because we are crying out to Him, He will not leave us out of the mighty move of the Spirit of God upon our hearts and upon our lives. Hallelujah. My God. Jess, do you mind if I share what you told me this morning a little bit? She went to get a body massage. Whatever. First time, whatever. And she said, Lord, just use me. And I've never done that before, so I don't know. She said, you know, usually it's quiet. Nobody wants to talk to each other. You know, they're just there to get massaged. But she said, Lord, just use me. And when you say that, God will use you. And all of a sudden, the ladies on the side of her started talking to her. They started talking. It was supposed to be, what, a 90-minute massage. She might have got 30 minutes, maybe. But she just started to witness to her because she was, this other lady didn't even almost believe in God. I mean, just, so Jess was able to share about who Jesus is to her. And now she's about to give her a Bible. Did you give her a Bible yet? Not yet, but it's coming. You know, Jess, bless my heart. The other day, I didn't know this. But she takes old Bibles and she restores them all on her own. She restores the covers, you know, and the pages and hands them out to people. That's amazing to me. You know, you think, well, you know, that's little old Gadon out there, where, you know, but God sees. And God is moving people. Don't ever think little old whatever. Always think in a big God. Believe big, because we serve a big God. My Lord. And what God can do. They cried out, thank you for what you're doing. And everybody else, I know everybody else shares about Jesus Christ on their jobs and everywhere else. Just let God use you. Let God use you. As you cry out to God, God will answer those prayers however he wants to. It could be no, though. It could be N-O. You have to take it. Because he knows we can't see on the other side of the mountain. But he knows everything that's on the other side of that mountain. He knows what's out there. But he also may say yes. And you go and you do whatever needs to be done. But they were crying out to him. Crying out to him. God came in, and we know the story where God saved their souls. God came in, brought them out of Egypt, did miraculous things, opened the Red Sea. They walked on dry ground. God fed them. God protected them at night and during the day. That's the mighty God we serve, all because they cried out to him. Now look at this. I want you to see this. It's an amazing thing. Look at Exodus chapter 2. Look at starting with verse 23. It says, and it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. They cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. Remember this, your cries go before the throne room of God. It says that he hears the cry of his people. Don't ever give in to the enemy that says, oh, he hasn't answered your prayer yet. That means he doesn't care about you. He's a liar and a deceiver. Our God is truth, and God will answer. Look at this next verse. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. My Lord, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God and had respect unto them. The power of Almighty God was moving upon them. It may seem like nothing's happening. You know, the farmer goes out there, he plows up the ground, and he makes it how he needs it to be. Then he comes in with the seed and he puts it in. And it's covered. I'm sure he doesn't get a chair and wait and look at it 24/7, waiting for it to grow. He puts it in and he leaves. Now, there's certain things he might have to do, you know, to keep weeds and everything out, fertilizer and all, whatever, to keep it going. But he has to rely on the sun and the rain to come. See, God puts seed on the inside as we cry out to him. And we're saying, Lord, we need for you to intervene somehow, some way. Then we got to rely upon the Son of God to make it grow or to make it happen. If we can make it happen, it's a product of man. And we know any product of man will come to destruction of every kind. But a product of God, it will bring life, liberty, and freedom. My Lord, what God can do. God heard their cry. In these verses that we read, there God is mentioned five times. Which in your Bible, you can see where it talks about, it's not only God, but it talks about Elohim, which is God. Okay, five times it's mentioned. You know, five is the number of grace. Grace is unmerited favor towards an undeserving people. My Lord, we have the grace of God. As we're walking through the trials and through things that are happening, God never said it wouldn't come our way. He just said, I'll be there with you. The Elohim, the God, the King of Kings will walk on the side of us and he will help us through all situations, through all problems. The grace of God will be upon our hearts and upon our lives as we cry out to him. And we give him those things that are weighing upon our hearts, weighing upon our souls, that the power of Almighty God will come in. You and I have to be willing to get the answer no, and we got to be willing to go a different direction when God says so. We don't like that too much. What child likes to be told no? Zero. You remember when you were young and your mom and dad might have said no? Man, you gave them a pair of eyes. And after they slapped you, maybe, you know, whatever, you went the other way. Nobody wants to be told no. But God has a reason. I always try to remember this, that in every situation that I have to go through, God loves me. And that means he will do everything for my benefit. Even though it may hurt. He is in control. As we cry out to him, asking God to move upon situations. Crying out to God is a desperate and intense petition. A serious plea that goes to the depths of our hearts, people. When we cry out to God, it signifies that we are facing a desperate situation and fear the consequences without his help and strength. The prophet Hezekiah cried out to the Lord in 2 Chronicles. Why don't you turn there? 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 20 and 21. Hezekiah. You might say, well, you know, the prophets of old, they just had it easy. No, they didn't. Well, look, well, the disciples had it easy too. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. You tell the disciples that were skinned alive how easy that was. You tell the disciple that was dipped in oil, hot boiling oil, how easy that was. You tell the disciples how easy it was to be nailed and crucified upside down because he felt he wasn't worthy to die like Jesus did. My Lord, my Lord. That's not an easy situation, but I tell you what, God can handle it. Look at verse 20 and 21. And for this cause, Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, prayed and cried to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor, leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land, not Hezekiah. And when he was come into the house of his God, they who came forth of his own bowels killed him with their swords. That was the Assyrians that were killed. Hezekiah went to the Lord because he knew he was about to be destroyed. Don't you feel sometimes that you might be destroyed? It's like you just feel, ooh. Especially when there's a physical ailment. You know, it's like you feel, ooh. Your mind may not be clear. You don't feel good. You just, you know, the attacks of the enemy sometimes. And we know our God is faithful and good and has done everything that he can do for us. And we just have to keep our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. All victory was won at the cross. You got saved because of the cross. We stay saved and we have victory over everything that comes against us as we put our faith in the cross daily, in what Jesus did. That brings victory. Victory. 50, 60 years ago, that's all that was preached from the pulpits in American churches. Now you don't even hear about the cross. And I'm not talking about the physical beam. And that's important, but I'm talking about what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. What he did, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. Not for himself, but he defeated death, hell, and the grave for us. He took upon the sin of the world, our sin, upon Him. Wow. My Lord. And we think God doesn't care about us? My Lord, does He care about us? He cares about every aspect of your life. And God is trying to weave us through the channels of time upon this earth that we're here to the end time, that we get to the place where either He comes and the it's open to us, He calls us forth, the trumpet blows, or we close our eyes for the last time, one by one, and we open our eyes at the throne room of God. My Lord, He's ready for us no matter what. But you know what? None of us should want to leave this earth till we've done everything God has called us to do. Zero. Zero. Because God has called each and every one of us to reach people for the kingdom of God. Because you know people I don't know. They trust you more than they trust me because they know you. And what you say affects their lives. And they're looking for hope in this world to give them a little bit of hope. And so you can touch them as you share about Jesus Christ to them. They will open their lives to you, and you'll be able to pray with them. You'll be able to help them in their situation. What a God we serve. God moved upon Hezekiah. God sent an angel to protect him. And look, read the whole story this afternoon. And God, the angel, slaughtered and killed all these Assyrians that came after him, my Lord. It says that Elijah cried and God revived a dead child. Can you believe? And there's many, many. Look. Jesus died on the cross. And the last thing He said was, my God, why have You forsaken me? A cry, people. Look, He was 100% man, yet He was 100% God. He felt every time that nail went through His hands and His feet. He felt it. The pain and the agony. He felt when that crown of thorns that were at least 2 inches long, was thrust upon His head. He felt when that spear went through His side. He felt those things. He felt when those stripes were being laid upon Him, upon His back. He felt it and He stayed and did it. Can you imagine if He would have called the 10,000s of angels that could have come and rescued Him? I think if He would have thought it, it would have been over. But you know what He was thinking? He was thinking of you and I in 2025 that need a Savior. He was thinking of us. He was the names upon His mind. The love in His heart towards the people. That's what He was thinking of. And obeying His Father. And doing what needed to be done so we could be reconciled back to Him. He hears the cries of His people. Don't ever feel alone. Don't ever feel He doesn't hear your cries when you're on your bed trying to sleep and your pillow's all wet because it's full of tears. He hears those cries. He hears when you're in the bathtub and you're crying out to God saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. He hears those cries. He hears those cries when you're behind the wheel of your vehicle and your tears are coming down your face and you're saying, God, I don't know what to do. Give me wisdom. Give me help. Help me. God hears those cries. He hears those cries when you're at your work and you don't know how to solve a problem and God intervenes somehow, some way. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My heart breaks for those people in Texas. My God, who can take that amount of flood and rain? No one. As we go to God and we say, Lord, intervene somehow, some way. Lord, move. Our hearts break. Our hearts break. at the agony we see. But I tell you what, our hearts are rejoicing over a God that can solve all things. He's looking for us to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. And as we do that, he will come in and he will sweep over this place. He will sweep over Gaydon. He will sweep over Vermilion Parish by the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. As people don't know what to do, we have the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. He is the one that can solve the situation. He is the one that can make things happen. That's the kind of God we serve. Expressing faith in God and crying out to him in times of need is a way to seek his help and believe that he will answer our prayers, acknowledging our helplessness and relying on his power to bring about change. We recognize God's supernatural power and express our faith in him to help us in this crisis, acknowledging that he is capable of doing anything, my Lord. I want you to turn to Jeremiah 29, one last scripture. Oh, thank you, Lord. Page 1292. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. As children of the living God, our Heavenly Father appeals to us to cry out to him for deliverance. Let us be quick to cry out to him in humility, sincerity, surrender, and faith. Okay? Amen. Jeremiah 29, 12 and 13 says, "Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." That's an amen shout right there. "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." And I want to read what the comment says after verse 13. It says, "This glorious promise is given to any and to all and for all time." Oh, my Lord. People. Blind Bartimaeus, totally blind, begging people for money and for help. He heard the Son of David is close. And he said to himself, "I've heard the great things he's done. I haven't seen him because I can't see, but I've heard." Faith grew in him. He heard he was coming and there was a ruckus going on. And he started to call out as he was sitting there on a beggar's platform, a beggar's mat, with a cup in front of him, begging people to have mercy. Begging. But he heard the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Son of David, was around about. And he started to holler out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." It doesn't say for sure how long he had been blind. I mean, we know from birth, whatever, but how long, how old, we don't know. For sure. We can speculate, and that's okay, unless you tell people you speculate. Okay. And so he started to holler out, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." And it got louder and louder. And people would come up to him, not the Son of David, Jesus. "Be quiet. You're too loud. That's too much. You're becoming a little too radical there. Be quiet. Shut your mouth." No telling what else. They might have hit him. You never know. People. But he kept hollering. When he got to the high point, he just kept saying, "Son of David, have mercy upon me. Son of David, have mercy upon him." He was crying out. You know what he's thinking? This is my last chance. people. There are people out there thinking this morning they got up, this is their last chance. Lord, we don't know. We don't know. And even maybe ourselves, we're thinking, this is our last chance. But he's thinking, if I don't get healed and I don't get what I desire today, there's no hope for me. But you see, when the King of Kings and the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit comes around, there's hope. There's hope in our God. And as he kept crying out to God, it says, Jesus came to him. They brought him and they came together. And he asked him, what do you want? I mean, you know, as a preacher, I would have thought, well, I know what he wants. And Jesus knew what he wanted. But he wanted him to tell him. Because you never know what he might have said. But he said, I want to be healed. And it says Jesus prayed and healed him. Can you imagine? Oh, my Lord. Revival that happened because of the healing power of the presence of God. Don't ever give up. Going back to where we started, the conclusion. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. You might say, well, if he never answers me, you keep on knocking. You keep until he answers. It might be no, could be yes, it could be Joe, I want you to change the way you pray. That's not for you right now. That's not for you at all. Go in this direction. And you keep on going. Okay? Just because we pray something doesn't mean it's for us. Now, we know this universally. God wants everybody saved. So when we pray for salvation, we know. We know God wants everybody healed. We know that's universal. But I'm talking about direction of whatever kind. What God wants to do, job, situation, family, friends, whatever it is, we keep on knocking and we keep on praying and we keep on believing. He hears your cry, just like blind Bartimaeus. And he will answer and he will move and he will do as we keep our faith and our trust in him, because he is the King of Kings and we're not serving no dead God. He's alive and well. He's sitting upon the throne. Oh, my Lord. And every day it says the King of Kings, Jesus, that's sitting on the right hand of the Father, is making intercession for you and I. My God. I'm sure already he's called out your name to him. Already he's spoken some things to the Father about you. My Lord, how much greater can you get? If nobody on earth prays for you, if you have Jesus Christ praying for you, my God, you can change the world. My Lord, what a God we serve. You're not no little peon Christian. You are a Christian saved by grace. We don't walk around in pride, but we walk around in who God says we are. We are above and not beneath. My God. We're the head and not the tail because of Jesus. And we stay under the shadow of the Almighty. And we never let pride and arrogance come in. We cast that away. And we stay humble before our God. Either we keep ourselves humble by the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit will humble us. Somehow, some way. And he will do it because he sees our hearts. Not that he's mean to us, but that he loves us and he wants to use us and help us. Remember, he hears your cry. Keep crying unto him. And that's praying, crying unto him. He hears your prayers. Let him work and move like he wants to. Amen. You may stand, please. Praise God. Amen. As every head is bowed, if you don't mind, and every eye closed for just a minute.